We're going to be learning about is a couple things, but basically it's about covetous today and the wrong teaching that's going about in certain aspects on God's unconditional love. So we'll have to see what the Lord says about that. Here's just an example of God's kind of love. And for one thing, we must always remember the word unconditional is not in the word. So why would you say such a thing? Here's just an example. Here's Andrew Womack. It's called God's Kind of Love. God's love for us is unconditional. That is, God doesn't love us because of some virtue we possess. God loves us because God is love and not because we are lovely. Religion is one of the biggest propagators. Yeah, the biggest propagators of the conditional love of God lie. Most Christian churches, now, nobody ever said conditional love either. So, I mean, most Christian churches teach that God's love for us is conditional based on our performance. If we pray, go to church, pay our tithes, then the Lord loves us and answers our prayers. But if we fail, then the Lord won't answer our prayers. That is not true. So here's a doctrine that starts coming out. Kenneth Copeland has a deal on agape love is unconditional. It's a video. Charles Stanley has on his Bible study, God's unconditional love. God's love is unconditional. Unlike earthly affection, his love doesn't fluctuate. The Father doesn't care for us more when we have pleased him or less when we have failed or sinned. There's Joyce Myers. God loves us because he wants to. It pleases him. God loves us because it's his nature to love, and he will always love us. He doesn't always love everything we do, but he does love us. God's love is unconditional. In fact, there's nothing we can do to ever escape his love. God's love is the power that forgives our sins, heals our emotional wounds, and mends our broken hearts. So, that's
sounds
the...
really good.
Yeah, well, and this is what you call New Ageism. Mm-hmm. And we know in Galatians 1, it says, if anybody adds or take away from this word, let him be accursed. And so all these are cursed. For one thing, the word unconditional is not in any place, or the word conditional is in any place. And but to reflect to say that, and putting the word love without any action means nothing. So love without action, love is an action verb. So love without action is affection. Or it could be lust. You know, I don't do anything for you and you don't do anything for me. You know, but I love you. Well, will you give me some? No. And so what is that? I don't know if you even call such a thing like that. Because if there's no action behind it, how could you ever call it anything to do with love? Let's just go to the covenant. And this is really interesting. This is an old doctrine that comes back. It was around about 1670. And this book I've got was written in 1711, and they were addressing it. And they were calling, back then it's called the Unconditional Covenant of Grace. And this is Jonathan Edwards, you know, which is a person who was preaching in the United States, but he's doing a preface of his book. And his book is The Path to Liberty. And so what we've got today, many times, is that liberty, when I say liberty, it's an occasion for the flesh. That I get to satisfy my lust. And when people say unconditional love, one thing we should say is, what do you plan on doing that you would want unconditional love? I mean, are you going to rob a bank? Are you going to kill somebody? Or I mean, what evil? So you've got to be having in your mind that there's some evil that you're going to do or that you are doing to clarify an unconditional love. Because we're looking at a God of covenant. And a covenant is agreement. Agreement, we had the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Agreement. So what was in the Ark was the Ten Commandments, and that's what people are agreeing to. And then you have a covenant with Yahweh as agreement. He's going to protect you as you do his will. Very simply. No different than a police department. Now think of that. A police department will protect you if you're obeying the law. Does it protect you if you disobey the law?
No.
Well, no, it's going to arrest you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's conditional.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Everything in life is a conditional. To get life age abiding is conditional. And so when people say it's a free gift, well, not the way you're thinking about it, because air is a free gift that Yahweh has given every man. Everybody gets to breathe it, regardless of what you do. That's a free gift. Salvation is conditional. You must fulfill certain conditions before you can get it. And that's why we have the lake of fire, for the people who refuse to do those conditions. And I don't know how when people say Yahweh's unconditional love for these people who are thrown into the lake of fire, how you put that together. I don't know what you do with that. But this person stated, and I thought it was very good, and this doctrine was called antinomian. And it was stating, and these are Puritans in the 1670s. Let's see, the author of the discourse, which is this book, he's giving a little preface on it, lived long in that place, and among those persons where the antinomians' notions too must prevail concerning the absolute promise of pardon and the unconditional covenant of grace. As he rightly observed of a covenant, which is indeed no covenant, but a mere promise of blessing from God, without any demand of duty or obedience from man. And so the people who have the unconditional love want a covenant from Yahweh to say, you're going to protect me and love me, but I'm not guaranteeing you anything back. You know, so that's where the license of sin coming in, where I can walk in and we start going, it's not by works, it's by grace, and you know, I'm free for the curse of the law, and which we'll go over these things. So you have to say, well, that's very familiar, and this was called the unconditional covenant of grace. And so it was a one-sided aspect. So we've got to review what a covenant is. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, and we're not talking about the Old Testament, that's the Old Covenant, New Covenant, but marriage is a covenant. Second Corinthians chapter 5.
Your page?
Yeah, I'll get there in a minute.
183. Thank you. 183 in the New Testament?
Verse 14.
184.
For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died. Now here's a covenant. It's a very simple arrangement. Hence, they all died. And in behalf of all died he. Why did he die? In order that they who live no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. Very simple agreement. I'm going to die for you, and what I'm asking you to do is live for me. Well, what does it mean to live for Christ? Live for Yahweh. Let's just go to Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians is the pinnacle. You know, that's page 198. Ephesians is the pinnacle of Christianity, and you can say, well, we're not in law, we're not in the Old Testament, and we're not in the Gospels, but we're actually in the age of grace, which we're on right now. And this is the same book that says, you know, it's not by works as any man should boast. Grace is works. I mean, grace, salvation is by faith. But let's look what the requirements are. Verse 17.
Chapter
4, verse 17. This therefore am I saying and protesting in the Lord, that no longer you walk even as the nations walk, in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of Yahweh, by reason of the ignorance that exists within them, by reason of their hearts being turned into stone, who indeed, having become past feeling, have delivered themselves up with wantonness unto making a trade of all impurity with greed. Ye, however, have not thus learned the Christ, if at least it is in him ye have heard, and in him ye have been taught, even as the truth is in Yahushua, that ye were to strip off, as regarding the former behavior, the old man, who corrupteth himself according to the deceitful covetings, and were to be getting young again in the spirit of your mind, and were to put on the man of new mold, who after Yahweh hath been created in his truthful righteousness and hesed. Wherefore, stripping off what is false, be speaking truth, each man with his neighbor. So you're starting to see condition upon condition upon condition upon conditions. Because you are members one of another. Be angry and not committing sin. Let not the sun be going down upon your angry mood, neither be giving place unto the adversary. Let the stealer no more steal, but rather let him be toiling with his hands for the thing which is good, that he may have wherewith to be giving away to him that hath need. Let no preacher discourse out of your mouths be going forth. But if anything is good, suited to the needful upbuilding, that it may give benefit unto them that hear. And be not grieving the holy Ruach of Yahweh, wherewith you have been sealed unto a day of redemption. All bitterness and wrath and anger and outcry and profane speaking, let it be taken away from you with all abasement. Is this the will of Christ? The will of Yahweh. Absolutely. All these things are. And this is living for Christ. And be gracious one to another, tenderly affectionate in favor, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh also in Christ has in favor forgiving you. Become you therefore imitators of Yahweh as children beloved, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and delivered himself up in your behalf, an offering and sacrifice unto Yahweh for a fragrance of sweet smell. But fornication and all impurity or covetousness, let it not be named among you, even as becometh saints. And shamelessness and foolish talking or jesting, which things are beneath you, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that if you take note, that no fornicator or impure or greedy person who is an idolater has what?
Any inheritance.
In the kingdom of Christ and God. Well, is that conditional?
Yes.
Is the inheritance, is there a condition on receiving an inheritance?
Yes.
Well, what are you talking about here? So you're talking about this unconditional love, and you're looking at, I don't know where you live, but if you want to get to paradise and have no inheritance, that's your right. Well, then, you got conditions. Yeah, absolutely there's conditions, all the way through here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. And so people get this, and they're just not rightly dividing the word. We're not under the Levitical law. You know, we don't have to give animal sacrifices, and we don't have to circumcise. But we're under the Ten Commandments, except for the Sabbath. I mean, absolutely. And the righteousness of the law, you know, if a person murders, we put them to death. And so, but now Galatians is going to be talking about the Levitical law about circumcision and justifying yourself by circumcision. So this is very understandable. So in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, O thoughtless Galatians, who hath bewitched you, before whose very eyes Yahushua Mashiach was openly set forth as a crucified one? This only am I wishing to learn from you, by works of the law receive you the Ruach, or by believed report. So we know Romans and Galatians cover the work of the law. We're not saved by the works of the law, but we are saved by faith, by making a covenant with Yahweh and His Son. And very simply, by making Him Lord, is becoming your master. That's what you're agreeing to. Now, I'm master for 1 second, then I'm out, and I'm saved. Well, think about what you're doing. And if you want to live in a life of darkness, where you have the liberty of the lust of the flesh that controls your life, you can go ahead. But is Yahweh going to love you? Is He going to protect you when you're walking in sin, robbing a bank? You know, what are you talking about? And Yahweh loves you just as much when you rape, murder, as you do when you help an orphan. I don't know if there's love, this definition that you have on love, which is so diabolical. And it's usually a justification of sin. And so what it comes down to is, I want to live a lifestyle where I can have both worlds. And so, and this is really the Democrat. You know, I want to vote for Obama. I'm going to vote for sodomy, abortion, take him somebody else's money, which is legal. It's not breaking the law. And I want you to give it to me, which is illegal according to the word Yahweh. So I go to church on Sunday, and then I vote for Obama on Tuesday. And I say I'm justified and I'm righteous because God loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And yeah, he does love you, but it has nothing to do with that. You're not going to get any blessings, and you're not getting any inheritance whatsoever.
Nor are you getting protection.
Yeah, you can't get protection too. And why would I protect you? You're harming the body of Christ. Go to chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. With her freedom, Christ hath made you free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not again be a yoke of servitude, be held fast. See, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be getting circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So what we're talking about in Galatians and Romans is Levitical law, circumcision, and they're going back to the law because what they're nullifying is Christ's substitutional sacrifice. And so Christ paid the price. That's why we don't have animal sacrifices. That's why we don't have to go to the feast days. And you don't have to be circumcised. You can if you want to. You can be water baptized if you want to. That's fine. But it has nothing to do with that. You know, can I steal? No, he's not talking about stealing and murdering and fornicating. And on the contrary, I'll say, just, and this is in Galatians 2, verse 19. Manifest, however, are the works of the flesh. And so when people say unconditional love, they're really saying the works of the flesh are okay. He doesn't like it, but he's not going to penalize me for doing the works of the flesh. I mean, that really comes down to. And what are those? Which indeed are fornication, impurity, wantonness, idolatry, enchantment, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, factions, division, parties, envy, and drunkenness, reveling. And as such things as these, as to which I forewarn you, even as I have forewarned you, that they who do such things as these do practice what?
Shall not inherit Yahweh's kingdom.
Shall not inherit Yahweh's kingdom. And so when you say unconditional love is not based on my performance, you're going to say your inheritance is. And so I don't know what world that you live in while you fabricate these things, but Yahweh has his will for us, and we're made to do good works and to be glorifying him fruit, to be and getting rid of the works of the flesh. In Romans 10:9, our agreement to enter this covenant is to make Yahushua our Lord, which means he's my master. And so Yahweh, to see, ask somebody, is Christ your master? I don't like that word. Well, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You're going to do what he says. Are you doing what he says? Not going to sin, but you're going to do what he says? Yeah. Okay. If you're not going to do what he says, then he's not your master. And lordship comes with action. And then in Luke 6, 46 to 49, he says, you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say. But then I'm not your Lord. You call me boss, boss, but you don't show up for work. I mean, what good does that do? So, it's important to get that straight. We are in a covenant relationship, and I'm very glad, because that's where Hesed is done. Yahweh will bless you. Let's just go to 1 John. And just to show these other people, to say, it doesn't matter. All right.
So is that what you sow, you'll reap?
Sowing and reaping, and chapter 3. But this is a new phase. It's not new, it's the old thing. It's new ages. I mean, we have to be very sharp. It's everywhere. It's just absolutely everywhere. Andrew Womack's ministry opens up with God's unconditional love. And that's, I mean, every TV program, that's what it does. And so that's the new bandwagon, which is great. And that's where pastors end up fornicating, doing all sorts of stuff, because it's by grace. So here's 1 John chapter 3, page 247. Great. Dear children, let us not be loving in word, nor yet with a tongue, but in deed and truth. And so if you say, Yahweh loves me, then that means he has to be giving to me. And he's not going to give to somebody who is hurting. the body of Christ.
Those who were attacking him and his son.
Yeah, then he's doing evil, actually. He's enabling it. And watch what happens. Hereby shall you get to know that of the truth we are before him shall persuade our hearts. Because if our heart condemn us, greater is God than our heart and perceiveth all things. Beloved, if our heart be not condemning us, boldness have we towards Yahweh. And whatsoever we are asking, we are receiving from him. And so when you have Kenneth, you know, it was that Joyce Myers. Andrew Womack. And he says, if you pray and go to church, pay your tithes, and the Lord loves us and answers our prayers. One thing is our supplications are done through faith. All right? It's called believing. And so what we call our prayers are answered many times is because you have to have the faith to go do it. If you don't do it, then it's not going to happen, because then people say, well, my father didn't answer my prayers. Well, how dare you? Because what he promises he will do, and he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be lifted up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall have whatsoever he saith. That's what you've got to do. But when you get into this prayers, and he's going to answer your prayers, whether you're a rapist, murderer, and you're asking for a getaway car, that's my prayer. I mean, and this makes sense to you? You know, I mean, it is... But we see here, you don't have confidence in, and of course your prayer is not going to be answered. It's going to be answered when you have boldness and say, I'm a servant of the Most High God, and I have a covenant with him, and since I'm doing his will, I have confidence that he will answer my petitions because I'm doing his will. Very simply. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 8.
He doesn't supply getaway cars?
Yeah.
How about jailbreaks?
That's your prayer. Yeah.
And it's I'd be praying.
Page 791.
Just get me out of prison. I'll do anything you want.
Yeah.
Oh, I would. I'd say that.
But people go along with this, and I think they're talking about love as kind of a hug. You know, we have a daughter who has chosen a life of sin, and will not help her in any way. And so if she comes back to Yahweh, absolutely, you know, we're out there to help. But if you're away from Yahweh, that's the farthest thing we'll ever do, because that would be hurting Yahweh. So you are no different than Paul saying to the people in 1 Corinthians 5, if a brother is a fornicator or a drunkard, not even eat with such a person. And he delivered such a one into Satan. Well, how does that verify with this, you know, this new ageism? And we did a paper on it too, you can see it. But if you look up, all you got to do is put God's unconditional love or unconditional love, and new age pops up everywhere. And then if you put the word God, then the Christian ministries pop up.
It isn't just the new age, because that was starting in the 60s and 70s with the hippies.
Well, hippies, yeah, it'd be hippies. But yeah, it's just, I love you, man.
It's cool.
Now, don't take my stash. That's not. I'm cool. Here's a little bit on Ezekiel I want to read. And it came to pass in the sixth year and the sixth month.
Where are you?
Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1, page 791. This is going to also open our eyes to what actually happens in religious institutions. So we have to understand, Aaron and I are around a lot of religious institutions. You know, we just had a pastor's meeting on Tuesday. We're going to one on Thursday. And they have some good things, and they have some things where you got a heart issue. The word of Yahweh is not number one in your life, because it's going to contradict what you teach and what your denomination teaches, which means you're not going to have anything to do with it, so you're going to reject it. No different than the Pharisees and Sadducees. Nicodemus. But we're going to see right here, this is big in here in Jerusalem. So remember, Ezekiel is writing the same time that Jeremiah is writing, and the same time Daniel is writing, and this is when Jerusalem is falling. And why are they falling? Well, very simply, he loves you just as much when Yahweh brought in Nebuchadnezzar. Because he was more righteous than the religious people.
Children, yeah.
Who were at the temple burning sacrifices. And we have Nebuchadnezzar grabbing the king and killing his sons in front of him.
And blinds him.
Yeah, and then put his eyes out and brought him in chains. And that's the wages of sin. And Yahweh is going to condone that and protect that lifestyle. So 8:1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth of the month, I being seated in my house, and the elders of Judah being seated before me, then fell upon me the hand of my Lord Yahweh. So I looked, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of a man, from the appearance of his loins and downward, fire in his loins and upwards as an appearance of shining, as a look of amber. Then put he forth the similitude of a hand, and took me by the forelock of my head, and the Ruach lifted me up between the earth and the heavens, and brought me to Jerusalem in the visions of Elohim, unto the opening of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the statue of jealousy that provoketh to jealousy. I'm not sure if that isn't, flip that up. And lo, there the glory of Elohim of Israel, like the appearance which I had seen in the valley. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up, I pray thee, thine eyes the way towards the north. So I lifted up my eyes toward the way towards north, and lo, on the north by the gate of the altar, the statue of jealousy in the entrance. Then he said unto me, Son of man, canst thou see what they are doing, the great abominations with the house of Israel are committing here, that I should go far away from my sanctuary? Sanctuary means holy.
He has to leave.
And so I have to leave because of the corruption that's going in my holy place. And that in churches today many times. Howbeit, yet again shall they see great abominations. So he brought me into the opening of the court, and I looked, and lo, a single hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, break, I pray thee, through the wall. So I broke through the wall, and lo, a single opening. Then said he unto me, Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are committing there. So I went in and looked, and lo, every similitude of creeping thing and detestable beast, and all the manufactured gods of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall, round about on every side. And this really was Catholicism, you know, and it's come down some, because now it's just Mary. But they used to have saints everywhere, and so you prayed to every kind of saint there was. And 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel with Jaazaniah, son of Shaphan, who stood in their midst, were standing before them, even every man with his censer in his hand, and the fragrance of the cloud of incense ascending. Are they holy? Yes, they are. They're very religious. I would say holy. They're very religious. He said unto me, Have thou seen, son of man, what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, every man in his inner chambers? For they are saying, Yahweh does not see us. Yahweh hath forsaken the Lamb. Then said he unto me, Yet again shalt thou see great abominations which they are committing. So he brought me into the opening of the gate of the house of Yahweh, which was toward the north. And lo, there were women sitting, weeping for Tammuz. And that's the Syrian god Adonis. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen, O son of man? Yet again shalt thou see greater abomination than these. So he brought me in the inner court of the house of Yahweh, and lo, at the opening of the temple of Yahweh, between the porch and the altar, about 25 men, their backs toward the temple of Yahweh. Now, this is important. To look into the temple was facing the, you had to face west. So the doors are facing east, and so when you bow in front of the temple, you're looking west, away from the sun. So your back was to the sun. Now look what people are doing. And their backs toward the temple of Yahweh, and their faces eastward. And they were bowing downward eastward unto what? The sun. So they turn their backs on Yahweh, and they face the sun, and bow down to the sun in the temple of Yahweh. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen, O son of man, is it a small thing for the house of Judah to be committing the abominations which they have committed here, that they have filled the land with violence and have again provoked me to anger, and they are putting the branches to my nose. Therefore, even I will act with indignation. My eye shall not shield, neither will I pity. Though they have cried in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I hear them not. And so they're crying to Yahweh as they're disobeying Yahweh. And so that is the same crowd with the unconditional love people. So I live a life of sin, but I'm under grace, and please hear my prayers, because now I'm sick. You know, I'm living in fornication, but I want you to hear my prayers. You know? And I'm expecting an answer. And what would that do if you answer somebody who is living in fornication? Is that going to encourage or discourage?
It's going to encourage them.
It's going to encourage. I mean, so if usually when need comes, is it gets our attention. Am I doing everything right? Mm-hmm. If adversity comes, I can say, am I doing anything wrong? If I'm doing anything wrong, I try to change gears, because I don't want those fruits. I want the fruits of righteousness, and I change gears. If things keep coming regardless of what I do, then most people are going to fulfill the lust of their flesh and not work. So let's say I don't want to work. I want to sleep in every day and have money come in. So just give me money. You know, I want alcohol or drugs. I want sexual promiscuity. You know, you name it. I want TV all day, whatever I can be. And it's a destruction. They would call that liberty. But when you call liberty to the flesh, is prison. It's shackles. Now, chapter 9. Then cried he in my ear with a loud voice, saying, draw near, ye that have charge of the city, even every man with his weapon of destruction in his hand. And lo, six men coming in out of the way of the upper gate, which looked toward the north, even every man with his destructive weapon in his hand, and one man in their midst, clothed with linen, having a scribe's ink holder by his side. And so they came in and stood beside the altar of bronze. And the glory of Elohim of Israel lifted itself up from off the cherubs, whereof it had been, unto the threshold of the house. This is so cool, because that's where Yahweh abides, with the cherubs. And that makes it kind of significant. When Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the cherubs were there. And the sword was banishing them from coming, so Yahweh's still there. So he's in the Garden of Eden, but they're outside the Garden of Eden, because they're unholy. So obviously this is the vision in the heavens. And he called unto the man clothed with linen, who had the scribe's ink holder by his side. Then said Yahweh unto him, pass along through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set thou a mark upon the foreheads of the men who are sighing and crying over all the abominations that are being done in her midst. Isn't that cool? So the people who this stuff is actually bothering, go mark them. But we're going to show you what we're going to do to the rest. If it doesn't bother you, this, you know, in our society too, if the sin that's in our society doesn't bother you, you're in trouble. You know, and if you engage in it or don't stand against it, you're in trouble. But unto these said he in mine ears, pass it along to the city. Watch out, guys. Quit pulling the table. Who's pulling the table? Your feet. Somebody's pulling the table with their feet. Just keep your feet away. But unto thee said he unto my ears, pass along to the city after him, and smite. Let not your eye shield, neither have you pity. Elder, young man, and virgin, and little ones, and women, shall you slay utterly, but unto any man who hath upon him the mark, do not ye come near, and at my sanctuary shall you begin. So, you know, riot with my priest. Start cleaning the house. And so you see the rebellion against Yahweh. So it's always the good against the evil. But the subtlety of our adversary is always to lower down the borders, lower down your parameters of your walls, let you accept homosexuality, to let you accept, because society accepts it, okay. Let you accept drug use, you know, alcoholism, you name it, sexual perversion of all kinds, because we're not under works, we're under grace. And so people will, through their banner, liberty to the flesh. Let's go to Revelations. Looking at this, the mark on the head, And so Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. So we're going to see this marking again of people, of people who are not going to be harmed. And so we should always have the mark on our heads, and we're walking righteously and uprightly with Yahweh. 12, he that overcometh will I make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my Elohim, and outside shall he in no wise go forth any more, and I will write upon him the name of my Elohim, and the name of the city of my Elohim, the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my Elohim, and I will write upon him my new name. Okay, so writing on individuals. 14, chapter 14, verse 1. And I saw, and lo, the Lamb standing upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and his Father's name written upon their foreheads. They're going to be spared. Chapter 9, verse 1. And what do you want to read, 1 through 4?
Yep. And the fifth messenger sounded, and I saw a star out of heaven fallen unto the earth. And there was given unto him the key of the shaft of the abyss. And he opened the shaft of the abyss, and there come up a smoke out of the shaft as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the shaft. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth. And there was given unto them license, as the scorpions of the earth have license. And it was bidden them that they should not injure the herbage of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the man who have not the seal of Yahweh upon their foreheads.
Okay, very simply. So here's another place where they are insulated from the wrath of Yahweh, because the wrath of Yahweh is real. The anger, and it better be. That's what saves us. Many times is the go against the wicked men. Chapter 2, kind of finish up there. Chapter 22, I'm sorry. 22, verse 1 through 4. And Elijah, you want to read?
Well, give it a minute here.
22, 1 through 4. Proceed.
Oh, sorry. And he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb. In the midst of the broadway thereof, and on this side of the river and on that, was a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit every several months, yielding its fruit. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And no curse shall there be any more, and the throne of Yahweh hath... And in the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants will render divine services unto them, and they shall see his face, and the name shall be upon their foreheads.
And there we go. And so there's good and evil. We got to make sure we don't fall for these false doctrines, no matter how popular the people are.